In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the great privileges a priest has is to celebrate the sacrament of baptism. For it is then that the giving of a name is the moment when parents and godparents, having presented the child, receive this sacrament of new life and adoption into God's family. Farther along in the rite, the priest pours the water upon the head, saying the name chosen, and any middle names. The formula used is given in the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In earlier editions of the Book of Common Prayer, while holding the child, the celebrant commanded the parents and godparents by saying, "Name this child." And they had to say so. At that moment, officially, spiritually, we were naming that child for all of eternity. What a momentous privilege for the priest, the family, and the whole congregation that witnessed what we had done. You know, there was a time not long ago when births were registered at church in many countries, but not in civil courts. Actually, in this country, most children that were probably born in the first half of the 20th century were born at home. And as such, getting the records recorded took some time to get back into town. But a baptism usually took place very quickly and very soon, due in fact by infant mortality being so high. And often the baptismal record was the earliest record of the birth. The church's records were better than the civil records. And when I was first ordained, I was getting the names of people in the register recorded for them so that they could get their social security, because that was the only record of their birth in Holy Trinity Belvedere's register. The choosing of a name in preparation for birth of a child can be quite a special task for parents and family. Back when the gender of the child was not known before birth, the naming of an either a boy or girl was a real battle back and forth in the family, a great deal of negotiations. And often there were traditions to be observed, and watch out if you didn't acquiesce to them. I remember one baptism where someone came to me and said, "Could you slip one more name in there?" My sister had to select a name for her son that began with the same letter as his grandfather. Names also were chosen at times as to what was popular. My sister's name, Laura, because there was a movie with that theme song back in 1948. In some cultures, the last name of one of the parents becomes the first name of the child. Some names are chosen because they sound just melodious, as in the African American culture. Like a pitter-patter, they kind of just float off the tongue. Then there's those doublet names that we're so familiar with from the American South. Bobby Joe and Edith Ann, and on it went. Double names. Much creativity in the choosing of a name. Our names actually have connections and connotations which may sometimes be obvious, but at other times obtuse and vague. Sometimes we have to pity the child who is given a name which may be a burden all their life. The fabulous rich Texas family with a surname Hogg, H-O-G-G, is an example. The name originally comes from English and Scottish, the occupation for one who herds swine. In slang, it has, however, taken on sometimes a negative meaning. But about 1,000 years ago, it was spelled H-O-G-A, recorded in 1024 as the Old English word for careful and prudent. The Oxford Dictionary also says that H-O-G-G is a yearling sheep before its first shearing. In any case, Daddy Hogg decided it would be cute or clever to name his daughter I-M-A, Ima. Thus, she became known as Ima Hogg. She said it with pride as a member of the family, but the joke was really on anybody else when they introduced and repeated her name, because then they said about themselves, Ima Hogg. She was, however, one of the most generous and wealthy women of the 20th century. So what's in a name? Shakespeare said, a rose by any other name is still a rose. And Gertrude Stein said, a rose is a rose is a rose. I'm often asked, how did my ancestry end up with the name Rosa? It sounds more Italian and Hispanic than the Polish, Lithuanian, Russian background it comes from. And that's because Latin worked its way into all European languages. And rose was a color or a flower. The Rosa Mystica in Latin is the medieval title for Mary, the mother of the Lord. Jesus, I wonder how many of you know if your name has some special connotation or meaning. Jesus' name, of course, was given by an angel. I doubt if that happened to most of us. The angel Gabriel proclaimed the name Jesus to both Mary and Joseph before the Lord was born. We speak his name on our lips and in our lives as we advance as Christians. But did you know that in Hebrew, the name is actually Joshua? It wasn't all that unique or special. And in Aramaic, it's pronounced Yeshua. In Greek, Jesus, which we've kept, but also in Spanish, Jesus. I remember as a kid myself, that was such a special name. We signed ourselves every time we said it. And then a kid joined our class and his name was Jesus, which we thought was really awful. Any name with a J or Y sound in the Bible refers back to the name God gave to Moses in the burning bush. We pronounce it as Yahweh nowadays, but in the older Bibles it was Jehovah. So Joshua or Jesus literally means something. Like Emmanuel, the name of this parish, means God with us. Jesus means God saves. An appropriate name, to be sure, given by the angel for the Son of God, who is to be the Savior, the Redeemer of humankind. Sometimes we think that we grow into our name. At least that may be the hope of our parents. Jesus, we say, grew into and lived up to his name of God Save. By his teaching, preaching, miracles, death, and resurrection, his life was given in atonement for the fallen of humanity and rescued us from sin and permanent eternal death. But I have to wonder, what was it like to be a little kid in that day? What propelled him towards the direction of the ministry he would have, the love and reaching compassion? Just think of his mother saying, God saves, God saves, where are you? Can you hear me? Answer me right now. But don't we cry that the same way? Who has not in time of need said, sweet Jesus, help me? I think I do it more often than I can remember. Names are also powerful. They can impact our destiny. Knowing someone's name gives you some power over them, or can be the power of their name. It gives a connection which can be intimate and personal. Sometimes, however, people presume your name. You know those calls on the phone? Hi, Tom, this is so-and-so. How you doing? Who is this? People presume upon a name by using the first name in an appropriate manner or situation. And sometimes even just the opposite. They just use your last name, like the newspapers do. Rosa said, you know, or something like that. It sounds so brittle. I've never liked just the use of last name in newspaper articles. But it even can go worse, and that is have no name. When something goes wrong and says, well, did you see what he did? Or somebody who you don't want to know your name. And they say, and now who am I? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to hold my name back because I want you to have no power over me. So, what about you? What about your name? What does it signify? You can look it up on book or online. Does it fit you? Is there something uncanny in the way in which it turns out to be the right name for you? Or maybe the wrong name? My dad changed his name. He was named at his baptism Valentus, Valentine. And everybody just called him Val, but finally Val became Al. So when he was 21, he changed it to Alex. That was the name he felt he best was known as. Do you know why your name was chosen by your parents? What would you do if you could choose your own name? Was there some sentiment or background to the selection? Was it chosen to honor someone or to dedicate you to someone or something? In an old Anglican tradition, there was always two godparents that were of the same sex as the child. One was a friend, a family, someone who cared, but one was a dignitary. Someone, if you could persuade to be a godparent, then they had an obligation over that child's future. And it was nice if it happened to be the local manor house owner who could find a good position for a child in the town. Every life in God's eyes is full of promise. Each one of us is unique and special amidst the billions of souls upon the earth. So much so that we believe God adopts us in baptism and makes us one of his own and knows us by name. Just think, what would the world be without you? What might it be like? We probably all have seen It's a Wonderful Life by Frank Capra over Christmas, where George ponders in his deep despair, what if he had never been born? Call it one's destiny or one's quest, each of us is needed and important somehow, somewhere, to somebody. We need not even ever travel alone in life's journey. We are meant to be in community. And God guides and strengthens us by the power of the Holy Spirit always. Earthly parents are at their best when they help a child mature into a well-adjusted, caring, and contributing member of society. And God calls each of us to be all we can be and helps us to find fulfillment in a vocation and a career, not just a job and a duty. God desires that we live life fully and have it abundantly. In a mystical way, we are told that God knows our name, and if we are attuned, we may hear it whispered in the wind. I was told once by a wise mentor that at this very moment, we exist because God is thinking of you. May each of us accept the challenge and make this new year the one we walk closely with our God. And in the words of that philosopher, Joseph Campbell, follow your bliss. Amen.